Last week, Pastor Grace shared about how to understand the will of the Lord. She shared about rejoicing always and praying unceasingly and giving thanks for all things. This is the will of God, and we need to achieve this. If everything is going well, it's easy to achieve this. But if suddenly something happens, then we will really see if we can actually achieve it. Praise the Lord that after I've begun to practice inner life, it isn't that hard to achieve this. This morning I got up late because I had some ministry serving assignment on Monday and Tuesday, so I slept a little late and I forgot to set my alarm. Usually I'll get up quite early, but today, as soon as I woke up, it was already 5:40. So as soon as I got up, usually I'll start my day and say, Jesus, I praise you. This is how I start my days. I'll put my clothes on, get dressed, and praise him as I go. And I'll praise him on the way to work in the car. People know that really, I really enjoy living a life of praise. Little did I know that I got stuck on the highway for 40 minutes because there were so many cars and it was so dark outside. When I took a look, I saw, oh, why is the traffic moving so slowly? So I said, Lord, traffic is moving so slow. I'll be late for work. I usually like to get to work a little earlier to spend some time with those workers on the night shift. And I wanted to change lanes. So I said to the Lord, I want to change the lane. And I looked back, I didn't see any cars. So I changed my lane and I accelerated. And little did I know there was a car in front of me. So I stepped on the brake. As soon as I stepped on the brake, I still crashed into the other car. My first crash ever. So I said, Lord, I praise you. I'm in some trouble. So I looked at the other driver, and this driver moved their car from the middle lane to the right lane. And I also moved to the right lane. And it was still so dark, so I slowly moved my car to the right. When we were off to the side in a safe place, I said, Lord, I praise you. I'm in trouble, but still I will praise you. So I shut the engine off, but the car headlights were still on. And I left my car and I apologized to the other driver. I'm so sorry. It's all my fault. And the other driver came out. And we checked out the back of the car. I said, are you okay? Are you okay? He said, I need to fix my car's bumper. I said, here's my insurance information. Here's my driver's license information. All of my documents that I could offer him, I offered him. I continued to apologize. I'm so sorry now. You're late for work. So he took down my information. I said, truly, I'm so sorry. Because of the wind, suddenly the car door opened and I rushed to close it because I didn't want another car to crash into the door. So after he copied down my information and I got his phone number, this person is a consultant, so I got his work phone and a home phone. So I said, I'll call the insurance company. So after that, I went back into my car to turn the engine on, but the car didn't move. I turned the engine off. I said, I'm so sorry. When you get to work, can you please call my home to ask someone to pick me up? I think my car is out of battery. He said, oh, I have a phone in my car. I was very at peace the whole time, even though my hands were shaking. He said, oh, I have a phone. Let me call them. But we got the answering machine at home. I said, okay, let's try again. We dialed again and still no one picked up. So I said, how about this? When you get to work, can you please call my work to ask my coworkers to come save me? So he was cleaning up the coffee that spilled all over his car. He said, oh, I can't leave you here by yourself. Where is your office? I said, oh, my office is at exit 237. He said, oh, let me drive you to work. I said, oh, really? Thank you so much. So I locked my car. I went into his car. His car was so fancy. There were so many gadgets. I said, wow, your car is so beautiful. So we started conversing in the car. I said, truly, you are my angel. And so we started talking, and he drove me to work, and then he went back. From the start of this car crash until the end, I was so filled with joy for the whole day. I kept praising the Lord. There was so much joy in my heart. And when I saw my coworkers, they said to me, where's your car? So a night shift coworker wanted to take me to my car to help me to jumpstart my car. But then I said, okay, let me try again. And so the car started. So I said goodbye to my coworker and I drove to work. So I was just filled with joy the whole day. At 9 a.m., I called the insurance company. And so my insurance broker, when they picked up the phone, I said, I'm so sorry. This is the first time I'm calling you in 10 years. Today I crashed into someone's car. So I shared with them the details. I was so filled with joy, even on the phone. I had so many meetings today at work. Even during the meeting, my boss asked me, oh, how is your car? I said, let me tell you, this morning, there's something that I'm so grateful that happened this morning. So they listened intently, and I told them I had a car crash. They were surprised. How are you grateful for a car crash? I said, the person that I crashed into, not only were they not angry with me, but they drove me to work. My boss said to me and the others, she is a lucky lady. So the whole day I was filled with joy, and I could testify before them. Because they really like me, I told them, don't think that I won't make mistakes, but it's because I have Jesus. Even though I can still make mistakes, I will solely depend on Jesus. And because of this, he is in control. And so this turned into something that blessed me so much. Jesus is so great, and even today I still want to testify about him. So praise the Lord that on this one thing, I have passed the test to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all things. Pastor Grace, praise the Lord. This is such a precious testimony. Some people, if they get into a car accident, they will be fearful for the whole day or complain the whole day. And there will be trauma from the car crash remaining. But when someone is willing to obey the will of the Lord, we can see that when we obey the will of the Lord, we are in heaven. Last week we talked about only those who obey the will of the Lord can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is heaven because the Lord's will governs in that place. So if today the will of the Lord has authority and governs in our hearts, then we care about the Lord's will, but we don't care about, oh, did I waste my day? Did I damage my car? What we care about is that the will of the Lord can be manifested and can govern and have authority in my life. It is then that the kingdom of heaven will be in my life. So these testimonies are so precious, that the will of the Lord can continually be in her life, that she values more greatly obeying the will of the Lord more than anything else. I believe that when she gets to heaven, she will already be used to what heaven is like. Today, the kingdom of heaven must be in us first, and so it's important that we obey the will of the Lord. Last week, we spoke about how do we understand the will of the Lord. The first condition is that we need to resolve to obey the will of the Lord. We need to commit to this. Only then can we understand His will. If we only want to, be curious and ask God what His will is, but we already have our own decision what we want to do, then the response I get from my question, when it doesn't align with what I want, we won't obey Him, then that is not obeying the will of the Lord. It is so important to obey the will of the Lord. I'll share with you a testimony as an example. In Hsinchu, there's a couple who wanted to buy a home, and a sister shared with them a property. So when they went to see the house on Saturday, they asked, "Lord, is this your will for us to buy this property? If this is your will, please tell us, give us a word." But on Sunday, when they came to service, that day the minister read a passage of the Bible. This passage was in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 11, where it says, "But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven, a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year." So when they heard this passage, they thought, wow, this is amazing. We will go possess the land that the Lord has given us. It will be a land watered by the rain. And so they bought this property. After they moved in, only a few days later, they found that the bathroom had a water leak. It truly was a land that drinks water by the rain. And as soon as it rained outside, the rain would enter into their home. And so they would keep mopping and mopping. They thought, oh, this property isn't that great. So after living like this for a while, they wanted to move to a different house. So she went to look for her sister and shared with her, oh, this is what's happening with my house. I really want to sell this house. So these sisters both loved the Lord, and her sister said, "We like to receive good blessings, but sometimes we don't actually like to receive the will of the Lord. When the will of the Lord is good and beautiful, we like it. But when it's not, we'll wonder why it's like this. We all like good blessings, but sometimes we don't really like the will of God. Because we like His blessings, we want His will to be good and enjoyable, filled with blessings. But when we obey the Lord's will and we realize, oh, this isn't so fun. The land watered by the rain is like this. I want to sell this piece of land." But when her sister said this to her, it reminded her. She thought, it's right. Since I know this is God's will, I encounter some issues and I want to sell the house, I should find some workers to fix this house instead. So after about 2 years, she wanted to sell the house again. But when she had this thought, she realized that her home started having a water leakage again, and she realized that God was reminding her again that this is my will. So she asked herself, if today the house that the Lord has given me is beautiful and is magnificent and luxurious, but it is not the land that the Lord is blessing, do I want that place? Do I dare live there? So since the Lord says that this is the land that his eyes are upon, I can rest and settle here. So she settled down in this house afterwards, not too long after. They realized that that house was located in the best school district of Hsinchu and very close to the train station. And so the property value rose quickly. So if she wanted to sell it, she could sell it for a high price. Of course, the result is not the most important, but when I heard this testimony, I thought it's so precious that when someone is sure of the Lord's will and they honestly and authentically want to obey God's will, if she had sold the place in the middle because of the water leakage, she might leave thinking, oh, next time I don't want to obey the Lord's will. It's no fun. I'm not blessed. But she saw and knew that this is the land that the eyes of the Lord are upon. And the Lord cares for this land. So in the time when they had this leakage, someone from a business came to look for her husband, and they wanted to partner with him. So this brother only needed to provide his expertise to develop a software. And so 1/5 of the profit this company makes would belong to this brother. So this company would assign him to continue some education. And the boss would choose what subject he would study. But this brother was not interested in this subject and he didn't have any experience in it. But he had lots of expertise in this software that he was invited to develop. So he was quite interested. And so he sought the Lord and he said, Lord, should I partner with them? So when this couple sought the Lord said, that one who believes and one who does not believe cannot be yoked together. But he thought, I don't need to spend any capital or money. I just provide expertise. So he was thinking, oh, I need money to renovate my house. And 1/5 of the profit of this company will be mine. I can tithe from this amount. What's wrong about it? But inside, we need to remember that if the Lord Jesus comes back today, if others can enter into the kingdom of heaven abundantly, but if because of partnering with this company, I need to invest all of my time and energy into this project, then he thought his whole life, his energy will be invested in this software. And when the Lord returns, I would be so poor. Is this worth it? He asked himself and he thought, no, it's not worth it. I want to enter into the kingdom of heaven abundantly. So he decided to reject this offer. So he called the boss and said, oh, I'm a Christian. I need some time to seek the Lord and to serve the Lord. So I can't invest so much time outside of that into this project. The computer was already at his house, so he wanted to bring the computer back to the company. The boss wasn't very happy, but after he returned the computer and he came home, he felt reluctant about his decision. Oh, it's 1/5 of the profit. But when he was reading the Bible one day, according to the reading plan, he read the book of in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. When he read this passage, he was shocked because the boss wanted him to spend 1 year to develop the software. So when he read this word and it says, you want to go to such and such a town, spend a year there and trade and make a profit. It was also 1 year. So after reading this passage, he had a greater resolve to lay down this opportunity. When I heard this couple's testimony, I was so touched that for people to love the Lord's will and to pursue what is eternal more than what is temporary on the earth. Truly, our good is in the Lord and nowhere else. In order to understand the Lord's will, we need to honestly and completely obey the Lord's will. This is the first requirement. Last week, I shared about how when I came to LA and the Lord wanted me to rent a place. For my testimony, you see that it's amazing that every scripture the Lord gave me came to pass. But you need to know that when I moved into that apartment, because I was certain about the Lord's will, I didn't inspect the place too carefully. The next morning, when I woke up and I went to the kitchen to drink some water, I opened the light and wow, so many cockroaches were running around. Whether it's midnight or in the morning, I wake up, there's so many cockroaches running around. And I started killing so many cockroaches, and I became a cockroach hero. Not too much time after, I realized there were ticks, too. But praise the Lord that the Lord allowed me to experience Him through these things. Because at that time, I just came to the U.S., the ticks were on me, and I said to the Lord, oh, I see them jumping onto my legs. Lord, this is your temple. How can you allow there to be ticks on your temple? I didn't know what to do. There are so many ticks, so I prayed. I said, Lord, you need to destroy all the ticks through your glorious light. I prayed for a couple days, and then I saw there were no more ticks. At that time, there was a mom who came to meet with us, and the mom said that they had ticks in their home, and she was itchy all over. So this mom came to meet at my house, and after she came, I realized there were ticks in my home. But 2 days after I prayed, I didn't see another tick. The Lord's will not always be so comfortable. When you do according to the Lord's will, you will realize that your circumstances may not be that comfortable. But when you obey the Lord's will completely to the end, you will realize that the Lord's will is truly the best. Living in that apartment for 2 years, I realized that it was cool in the summer and warm in the winter. When it was 100 degrees outside in the summer, when I slept in my apartment at night, I didn't even need a fan. But I slept on my bed and it was so cool. So I thought, wow, this apartment is wonderful. I loved this place. And there was also a fruit tree in the backyard. And there was such sweet fruit all year long. The oranges from this tree could supply us for the whole year. I could give it to the whole church to enjoy. Every time I obey the Lord's will, I think, oh, it's so good, it's so good. And the more I obey His will, the more I enjoy it. At the beginning, often when I choose to obey the Lord, there will be some difficulties. But the more you obey Him, the more you will enjoy His grace and His good will. just like Paul, when Paul obeyed the Lord's will, when the Lord called him to Macedonia and he went, what happened? He was imprisoned and he was beaten, half dead, and put in prison. He obeyed the Lord's will to go evangelize, and yet he ended up in prison. But through this circumstance, the Lord was able to share the gospel with the prison keeper, and his whole family came to know the Lord. When you obey the Lord, it's not necessary that everything will be smooth and everything will be comfortable. It's not like that. But when you obey the Lord's will completely, there truly is the Lord's blessing and goodwill. How come so many of the Lord's children today don't understand the Lord's will? It's because when we obey the Lord and we realize there are ticks, or we get beaten, or, oh, I'm praising the Lord and I still get into a car crash, we will think, oh, I don't want to obey the Lord again. I don't care about this anymore. If we're like that, we will never understand the Lord's will. In LA, many of you know Sister Mingwen. When she came to LA, when she just came, she attended our Thursday Inner Life meetings. When she first came to LA for the first month, she had an interview opportunity, and so she went to interview. And she felt like the manager really liked her, and the manager said to her, "Oh, come back for a second interview." At that time, the first time she came to attend our Inner Life meeting, at that time I was sharing about how to understand the will of the Lord. And I shared that one time a brother asked, "Pearl Young, I have a job opportunity. One is very far away from the church, but the pay is very high. The other opportunity is located very close to the church, but the pay is not so good." So Pearl Young said, "Of course, choose the job that is closer to the church, because on earth, everything, our career, our family, is unto the Lord's kingdom. What will remain unto eternity? It's your eternal life. So if a job causes you to commute to and from work, far distances, and you become very tired, often the Lord won't lead you this way." So when this person heard these words, because this person's work was quite far from our church, so as soon as Mingwen heard this testimony, and her job offer was quite far from our church, as soon as she heard this, she thought, oh, this mustn't be the Lord's will. So she didn't go to the second interview. But after she did this, she was jobless for a year and a half in LA, because it was hard to find computer-related jobs in LA at that time. She was jobless for a year and a half, and she had a lot of financial difficulties, because her mom didn't give her any money, and she only started out with a little bit of savings, which she depleted. So over this year and a half, she practiced living a life of faith. And the Lord allowed her to experience so many amazing things. For example, one time she was going to interview for a job, and she didn't have money to get gas. So what did she do? Even though she was living by faith, she didn't tell her mom. She just depended on the Lord. But suddenly her mom said, "Oh, let me give you $20. So she gave her $20 that time. And another time, she got a ticket. It might have been around $200. When she got the ticket, she said, "Lord, I don't have any money. What should I do?" But it turns out that the payment deadline, when it was approaching, suddenly she received a letter someone in San Jose mailed her $100. She said, "Oh, Mingwen, we have a conference here. We hope you can come back to attend." And so she was able to cover her ticket. So she started having greater and greater faith that was alive for the Lord. Through these circumstances, through continually practicing living by faith, her faith continually grew. So whatever circumstances she encountered, when she needed money, she would go and check her mailbox. And truly, she'd open her mailbox and there was a letter there, and in the letter, there was money. She wasn't even a preacher, and yet she lived this life by faith. So over this 1 year and a half, many brothers and sisters in San Jose would call and write and ask her, "Oh, how come you don't have a job after going there for so long? It mustn't be the Lord's will. Quickly come back. We have jobs here." But every time she sought the Lord, she felt the Lord wanted her to remain there, and so she didn't return. She wanted to obey the Lord to the end. But when it came up to the point of a year and a half, one day the Lord said to her, "I want to give you a job." The Lord gave her this word first, and then she had the job. So when she went to interview, she knew, she was certain she would get the job. And it was a great job, and she enjoyed this job. Over this year and a half, the Lord gave her so many opportunities to practice living by faith, so many lessons on depending on the Lord financially and experiencing this living God. And secondly, she used to get sick quite often and would go to the doctor right away when she got sick. And whenever she got sick, she would be sick for a long time. So she was afraid of getting sick. But when she had no money and also no insurance, she started depending on the Lord. And over this year and a half, she came to our church. And we started selling more and more tapes. And we needed someone to record these tapes. And because she didn't have a job, we said, "Oh, Mingwen, can you help us record these tapes?" And so she said, "Sure." So she took over this job, and little did she know, it was so busy. And so through working on these recordings, she got to listen to the teachings, the earlier teachings, and her spiritual life became built up, and she started putting down roots. And so she learned about how God heals. And every time she got sick in that year and a half, she would depend on the Lord. And every sickness was healed by the Lord, to a point that she no longer feared getting sick. She had that faith within her that she no longer was afraid, but she depended on the Lord. She came in December 1993 to LA. So this year is 1997. During our summer conference, she was very clear that the Lord wanted her to quit her job and come out and serve the Lord full time. So in that year, she was certain that there was coming a time that the Lord would call her to be in full-time ministry. And she was so filled with joy and so willing to do this. But she continued to pray. She didn't rush into this decision. She said, "Okay, you're calling me to full-time ministry, Lord. You need to provide for my family financially that we will not lack. And you need to work on my mom." And she blessed her sister that her sister's business would thrive. Before, every time she came to church, her mom would scold her. But her faith was built up to a point that she wasn't even afraid of being scolded. There was a courage, a spirit of courage that rose up within her. And also, a love for her mom, a resolve to love her mom no matter how much she scolded her. And the Lord truly did this work to a point where one day her mom said to her, "Mingwen, if you want to go serve the Lord, you don't need to worry about me. Just go. It's okay." And the Lord said this through her mom. But even so, she was still waiting for the Lord's timing. So during the summer conference, she was clear that the Lord wanted her to quit her job and enter into full-time ministry. So next year, she will intern with us for a year. So I share this so that, brothers and sisters, you can understand that unless you honestly and diligently obey the Lord, you will not experience how beautiful and pleasurable is the Lord's will. And I already said, most people's experiences of obeying the Lord, we will think, "Oh, I obeyed you. Why is life like this?" And if you give up, then you won't experience the pleasure and the beauty of God's will in your life later on. So let's look at a passage, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Here we need to understand that the Lord's way and the Lord's thoughts are not like ours. The way and the thoughts we like are, oh, on the surface it looks so filled with blessing. But this is not true in the end. But the Lord's way and thoughts are higher than all this. And everything that comes out of the Lord's mouth will come to pass. So when we seek the Lord's will, to understand His will, we need to stand firm no matter what kind of difficulties we experience. In that year and a half, the most difficult thing that Mingwen experienced was that brothers and sisters who loved her said to her, "Oh, this is impossible that this is the Lord's will. After a year and a half, still you don't have a job. Come back." But throughout this year and a half, there's such a miraculous work of the Lord in her life. And the root of the inner life was established in her. The Lord had a good will and purpose for her. This year and a half was an important school to train her in many aspects. And because of her willingness to seek the Lord and to understand the Lord's will in everything, this has a lot to do with the establishing of our church. Even though in 1986, the Lord already said to me what I would do, I had a burden for what the Lord would have me do in San Jose. But I never thought that it necessarily had to be through me. So even though I came to San Jose to lead a few conferences, I was thinking, oh, is there a such and such pastor who is determined to walk this path of inner life? I just need to support them. I did not want to come to the States to build a church. But then the Lord led. In 1991, He gave me a clear word to come to the U.S., to leave Taiwan and come to the U.S. He said to me, we would have a church in San Jose as well as L.A. The church in L.A. started first. So in 92, when I started planting this church in L.A., I started becoming quite busy. If it was like I was starting to incubate this baby, and this it takes time for this baby to be born and to grow up little by little. And so when I was in LA, I completely put San Jose to the side. And my own tendency is that I don't like to move. I just want to be in a stable little home in my little church and serve there. I don't like uncertainty and unsettledness moving around. Even though some graduates from San Jose would call me and say, oh, do you want to come to San Jose to build a church? I said, it's impossible. It's impossible. But it turned out it was because at that time Mingwen prayed to the Lord. And the Lord wanted her to return to LA. The Lord gave her 5 confirmations and they all came to pass. She wanted her to evangelize to her family because none of them knew the Lord. This obedience is not easy because as young people, you enjoy living with other young people, but the Lord is calling her to go back to live with her mom who had a bad temper. But she obeyed the Lord and went back to live with her mom and was often scolded by her mom. But over these years, one by one, her family members have come to know the Lord. And secondly, because she returned, she started meeting there and listening to the tapes, and she shared these tapes with her friends. Oh, Martina, you should buy a set and listen to it. After she listened to it, she started to mail it to some brothers and sisters. And so these brothers and sisters buy them in sets. And then their youth group invited me to lead a conference. After I returned, their church experienced a split, and they invited me to come to build a church. I thought, I can't do this. I'm starting to plant a church here. We're starting to build a building. I can't leave. I went in 92, and at the end of the year in 94, we paid off all of the expenses. In 95, I thought, okay, now I can start living a slightly better life. Our church's building was built and we paid off our debts. And so every year we had to seek the Lord because of our rent. And after we had our own building, we started to have morning prayer. And the brothers and sisters were so on fire and their spiritual lives are being built up. Over 2.5 years, these spiritual lives, God could start to manifest what He built in their lives. So in this time, my departure would be very difficult. But the Lord gave me a series of words and I obeyed Him and I came here. So this church truly was built through the hand of the Lord. But it all started with a little girl who was willing to obey to live with her mom again, to go back home and to evangelize to her family. The Lord's hand accomplished all this. Unless the Lord did this, I think we would remain in LA forever. So I realize it's so important for us to obey the Lord. The Lord wants to have a people who are willing to understand His will in everything, to seek Him in everything, so that His kingdom can come and His will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants to have a people who love His will, who want to obey His will beyond seeking our own comfort and enjoyment. Let's look at another passage, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. So here it says, why do many Christians not understand the Lord's will for us? It's because we have not concentrated on seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord's will for us. When we don't concentrate and focus, oh, we feel like the Lord hasn't responded, so we go look for a prophet and ask them. But the word from the prophet doesn't really match what my preference is. So the issue is, I'm not willing to concentrate on depending on the Lord. There's something that's quite concerning in the church these days, that whenever Christians encounter something, when they need to make a decision, they'll go ask a prophet. It's just like non-believers who go look for fortune tellers. It's the same. This attitude is not good. Why? Because this Almighty One lives within us. He is our God. He will show us the path. Until you die, He will lead you on this path. He delights in you asking Him. He wants to be your Lord. When Daniel prayed, he needed to pray for 21 days. Only then did the Lord fulfill His word. Daniel was a great prophet, and he needed to pray and ask and wait for 10 days. Only then did the Lord respond to him. Such a great prophet. Yet they needed to wait 10 days, 21 days until the Lord spoke. What about today? If we need to ask the prophet for everything, and the prophet has an answer for everything, then I'll have some questions within my mind. Perhaps sometimes the answer from the prophet doesn't actually benefit you. If a prophet has an answer for anyone who lines up to ask him a question, I will have some questions and a question mark in my mind. If we see a child, if a mom gives their child anything they ask for, money, if you don't give them money, they'll throw a tantrum. This is a little child. But what about a child who's a little bit older? Maybe 18, 25. And you say to your mom, oh, I really want such and such. Mom won't give it to you right away. You won't throw a tantrum because you know that your mom loves you, even if she doesn't give you something right away. And you can have patience to wait. This is what maturity is. So we need to learn how to concentrate on seeking the Lord and waiting upon the Lord. This is not a mistake of prophets, but it's a mistake of Christians. That it's become a habit that we do not come back and ask the biggest prophet inside. Why do I say that the Lord is not pleased with such an attitude? Because with this attitude, you cannot understand the Lord's voice or His will. In John, it says that the sheep recognize His voice. So Jesus promises us that we are the sheep who belong to Him. We know His voice. We recognize His voice. But many Christians today, they don't know that they are sheep, and they also don't recognize the voice of the shepherd. They are deaf because they don't have this habit of concentrating to depend on Him. Also, another important thing to know the will of God. We just shared right now that you need to set your heart, resolve, no matter what, whether it's easy or hard for me, I will determine to obey the Lord. It's easy for us people to go through twists and turns, so we need to be fully honest and concentrate. Only then can we understand the Lord's will. The second point is we cannot lean on our own intelligence. We need to lay this down and depend on the Lord to lead us and show us the way in everything. We need to lay our intelligence and our smarts down. The smarter you are, the more you can analyze things. Often it's harder for you to understand the Lord's will, because whenever something happens, you will analyze and think, oh, this probably isn't the Lord's will, or something else, oh, this is good. I remember at the time our church was on the 8th floor. Two sisters were ministers, and one sister came out. The Lord called her to go into full-time ministry. So on the 8th floor, we had two rooms. We each had our own room. And then there was a large sanctuary where we met there. So this one sister came out. So it wasn't very appropriate for us to have her live outside. So we moved in together to live with her. this was the logical answer, but we already had the habit to ask the Lord about everything. So we asked him, should we move, Lord? So we waited 1 day, 2 days. I forget how many days it took. But that day when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you must help me to understand today. Should we move? Because there's a deadline. Oh, either the three of us rent all of the rooms or something else. So I said, Lord, you must show me today. Usually when I get up in the morning, I'll wait upon the Lord and I'll present to him some of the questions in my heart. And then I'll read the Bible. And so often the Lord will answer my questions through my Bible reading plan. So brothers and sisters, you need to follow a reading plan and not just read a random section every day. Or you'll randomly point to a passage. Oh, this is the passage where Judah hung himself. No, don't do this. Because our God is a God who has a plan. He has a plan for your whole life. He knows what passage you will read each day, and he will lead us in what sorts of prayers we should pray and lead us to read the right passage by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. This is what it says in Philippians, that when we set our hearts, the Holy Spirit will work within us to accomplish his beautiful will. Because of the Holy Spirit, we'll know how to pray. So I said, Lord, you must help me understand. Should we move? So then I read the Bible. Where in the Bible will it tell me if I should move? But that day I read in the Bible, you shall not move from this home to that home. It was so amazing. And that word seemed to jump out at me. It was just for me. So I knew I wasn't to move. So this third sister rented a place herself and we did not move. But not too long later, because we were on the 8th floor, the 8th, 9th, and 10th floors belonged to our landlord and they themselves lived on the 10th floor, the Lord did not ask us to move. And so a few days later, there was a prompting in my heart. I said, Lord, if we can live on the 9th or 10th floor, that would be wonderful. We could have some distance between our meeting space and our living space, because right now, as soon as we open the door, it's our meeting space. And so now the brothers and sisters are so hungry. If we meet at 7:30, they'll come at 5 or even 4 to wait on the Lord. They'll come anytime. But I might still be in the shower washing my hair and someone will press the doorbell. I need to run into the meeting room to let them in. So I really had a desire in my heart to have some distance between these two spaces. And amazingly, the landlord came down and said to us, he said, Miss Jiang, how about we swap? You can live on the 9th and 10th floors and we will live on the 7th and 8th floors. It was amazing. When we moved to the 10th floor, it was amazing. This landlord is very wealthy. So the space on the 10th floor is very large and there are three rooms on the 9th floor. So the three of us sisters could all live in that space. And so when it was time to meet in fellowship, we can go downstairs and meet with our brothers and sisters. So the landlord asked me, well, how is it upstairs? I said, it's very good. He said, probably your God wants you to live there. Because the more I lived there, the more annoyed I grew. So he moved downstairs. But you know, when we were on the 8th floor, it was really great. But when the landlord moved to the 8th floor, they changed the flooring to carpeting. And there's a typhoon and the whole floor was soaked. And then another time a thief came and different things happened. I felt like the Lord kept speaking to them. Because his wife would often go to Hualien to serve. And so sometimes we'll invite this landlord to come and meet with us. So the landlord said, I feel so much peace when I meet with them. So he said to his wife, don't go to Hualien to look for God. God is right here. So I feel that when we obey God, it's so important. It's so important for us to seek Him in everything. If we had made the decision to move at first and then our landlord asked us to move upstairs, it would be a great hassle. But the Lord knows everything. When we obey Him, He cuts out a lot of the hassle. He is governing everything. He is in control of everything. But He wants His people to learn to seek Him, to ask Him. If you ask God about everything, you will cut out a lot of disappointments in your life. So let's look at Joshua chapter 6. We see that Joshua is following Moses, and he experienced many miracles firsthand. Moses laid hands on him to pray for him for the spirit of wisdom, and he led the people of Israel across the Jordan. The river Jordan opened for them. Joshua is someone who knows the Lord, but when he entered into Canaan, the Lord wanted him to learn one thing first, to not lean on your own understanding. In chapter 6, it speaks of Jericho. The city of Jericho is very large. In verse 2 it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor.'" And then what does the Lord say? Does He say, "Go and take the city"? No, He says, "Circle around the city for 6 days. Start with day one, same on day two. And on the seventh day, you need to march around the city 7 times. Such a big city. And the people inside are all warriors, mighty men of valor. If someone who's smart, they might say, "Oh, Joshua is so stupid." If someone on the city gate throws down a rock, won't my head get crushed? Won't I become a pancake? What type of strategy is this? This is our own human understanding and intelligence. We seem to be able to analyze with a lot of logic. But the Lord told them to march around the city in silence. We might think that we need to march around with lots of noise to intimidate the enemy. We don't want to be silent and be attacked by the enemy. But what did the Lord say? "On the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets, and then you will shout." And so when the people shouted, the walls of the city fell flat. The whole city of Jericho fell. So after this victory, later on it says that when they went to fight the city of Ai, let's look at chapter 7, verse 2 to 5. "Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avon, east of Bethel, and said to them, 'Go up and spy out the land.' And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few.' So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water." So we see that the first time facing a great enemy, they completely depended on the Lord and laid down their own understanding, and they defeated the city. The whole city fell. But the second time, when they saw the city of Ai was such a small city, "Oh, we just need 2,000 or 3,000 people to go and fight the city because there's not that many people." So they sent 3,000 people to go fight. But they fled and they were slaughtered. When the Lord wants His people to enter into Canaan, we know that for us today, Canaan represents this place of abundance within us. The Lord wants to become our abundance. He wants to become our righteousness, our salvation, and our holiness. If we want Him to be our full abundance, we need to learn to lay down our own understanding, lay down our logic. They thought they could send 3,000 people and defeat this little city. But that's why the Lord said to them, you need to first come and seek me. Don't think this is just a little enemy and not fear. No problem. And only ask the Lord about big enemies. Many Christians are the same today. They only ask God about big things, but not about little things. Last time we shared about the cloud and the fire leading the people every day, walking forward day by day. Is that something small or big? It's seemingly small, but from another perspective, it's also quite big, because the direction you're going in is, it determines if you are entering into the Lord's will, entering into Canaan. So everything about the Lord's will in our lives is a big thing. Should you marry this person or that person? Oh, if I like them, that's all that matters. But then you'll realize that this marriage was a mistake. That, oh, the Lord actually wanted you to marry this other person. You'll have such and such a family and you'll be used by the Lord in his kingdom in such and such a way. But with this marriage, you keep arguing. There's many things. It's because we are unwilling to ask the Lord. So we've gone on a lot of wrong paths. So let's look at chapter 9, verse 14. So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. So this city of Gibeon is very close to Ai. It's Jericho, Ai, and then Gibeon. But because the people of Gibeon heard that the people of Israel could cause the city of Jericho to fall even without fighting, they thought, oh, the God of Israel must be powerful. So they were afraid. So in verse 4, chapter 9, verse 4, it says that they acted with cunning and went and made ready provisions and took worn out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended. They wore worn out clothes and shoes and some provisions and bread that were already dry. And so tried to trick Israel to say, oh, we live in a distant, faraway land. And we came all this way to make a covenant with you. Oh, see, when we just left, this bread was warm and now it's already dry and it's crumbly. But the people of Israel saw this and said, oh, yeah, everyone is wearing torn clothes and torn shoes. Their bread is going moldy. They must have come from a distant land. And they did not seek counsel from the Lord. They received some of their provisions. Of course, they probably brought gifts, but they did not ask the Lord about it, and they made a covenant with them. But afterwards, the whole land of Canaan, except for the family of Rahab, it was the Gibeonites that were not slaughtered and were not destroyed. This is a pity. From the story we also see, that the enemy's schemes are even scarier than when he outright attacks you. He disguises himself as an angel. His schemes can harm you to a degree that you cannot enter into the land of Canaan and you cannot receive the fullness of the abundance that God has for you. This is even more scary than being defeated by Ai and not being able to defeat Ai. We shouldn't belittle this. We can't think, oh, it's no problem. I enjoy being with this person. And yet we, without realizing it, bit by bit, our hunger for the Lord will decrease. They made a covenant with me. And they want to help us. They want to serve us and carry the water. What's wrong about this? But it's because they did not seek counsel from the Lord. When we don't ask the Lord, our lives lose much. Only when we reach heaven will we know how much we lost out, because we rely on our own understanding and smarts and our own logic. We think, oh, this is no problem. So our natural human understanding is not true wisdom. Only knowing the Lord is true wisdom. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you know that the greatest hindrance to understanding the Lord's will is leaning on my own human understanding. If I relied on my human understanding, I would never come to the U.S. My dad would scold me because my dad feared, oh, his daughter would not get married and have belonging. At that time, when I moved from the 4th floor to the 8th floor, then to the 9th and 10th floors, and I went through a couple of years, and the landlord wanted to sell the house. And so I sought the Lord again, and the Lord told us to move to the 1st floor. So as parents, they fear that their children will not have a place to settle down and have a place to belong in. So when we finally built our own church building, my parents felt a contentment in their heart that their daughter finally had a place to call home and to belong to. And so we focused on building the church, and the brothers and sisters loved me, but suddenly I decided to go to the U.S., and so our whole family were displeased. Your life is great. Why do you need to go to the United States? I said, because the Lord asked me to go. So as soon as I got to the U.S., my dad was afraid that I would starve to death in L.A. So for the first time and only time in my life, he sent me $500. Because I only brought a little bit of funds. Every year, every month, I only receive $900. And there are other expenses like phone bills and food. And there are only a few brothers and sisters in our church. But the Lord is amazing that when I obey the Lord, and when I take a step forward, the larger the step, the larger the growth. And the more we experience the Lord's greatness and faithfulness and abundance. The thing is, are you willing to obey? In Xingzhou, it was so much easier and so much happier for me. I only need to preach once a month, but in the U.S., every week I had to preach because I don't know any other pastors. In Taiwan, there are so many ministers in the church, and it's so easy. The burden is so light. And we had our own church building. It's the first big church building in Xingzhou, and it was beautiful. We had a view of the mountains. And the brothers and sisters loved us so much. People would visit and say, wow, it's rare that we see a church that loves each other so much. We would walk with people starting from when they were students and then they got married. But we are willing to lay down our own understanding. I remember at that time when I came to the U.S., I felt inside that I was so at a loss as to what I would do ahead. And I had not touched English in so many years, and this whole environment was English. Everything was so scary. So many laws in the U.S. Everything is very strict. In Taiwan, everything is convenient. You can do anything. In the U.S., oh, you can't do this, can't do that. Everything is so strict. And so I felt it was so difficult, and I was so afraid, and I don't want to be a leader. I don't like being a leader. I don't enjoy this. I like to be a helper. But I needed to obey the Lord, to lay down my own understanding and wisdom. Little did I know that the Lord has done so much over 5 years. That the signs and miracles have filled up a whole basket. His works are so amazing and so mighty. He truly is a mighty God. Only when we're willing to lay down our own understanding and wisdom can we experience His greatness and His might. And then we will realize, wow, the Lord's will is so amazing and so pleasurable. So let's sing this hymn together, to sing these words that obeying the Lord's will is what I need. And I truly hope that through exploring this topic together, we can have a family of brothers and sisters who love the Lord's will more than they love their own lives, more than they love their own comfort and convenience. Lord, I set my heart to obey your will. If the Lord can have such a people, the enemy will tremble, and the powers of hell will be shaken, and the Lord's kingdom will come in a mighty way.